I wanted to spend the next few sessions till Rosh Hashanah talking a little bit about the Mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, just to move the topic a little bit. The Rosh Hashanah is a very enigmatic Yom Tov. If you look in Parshas Emor, there's only one pasuk in the Torah about Rosh Hashanah. And the pasuk doesn't tell us what the Yom Tov is about. This is in Parshas Emor. Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Daber el b'nei Yisrael leimor. B'chodesh ha-shvi b'yachod l'chodesh. On the seventh month, the first day of the month. So what's the seventh month? Because when you count from Nisan, Nisan is always the first month in the Torah. It's the month of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So you have Nisan, Iyor, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei. So Tishrei is called the seventh month. On the first day of the seventh month, Yelechem Shabbason, you shall have Shabbason, which means a refraining from work. Zichrein Trua, a remembrance of Trua is some type of blowing sound. Mikra Kodesh, a holy day. And it says, Kol Melechas Avoda Lo Sasu, do not do Melechas Avoda. Now this is an interesting expression. The Ramban explains that Melechas Avoda, as opposed to Shabbos, Shabbos, the Lashon is, don't do Melecha, Kol Melecha Lo Yasa. Melechas Avoda is a specific reference to work that is not done for food preparation, meaning you'll only find, in other words, on Shabbos, all Melechas are Aser. On Yom Tov, Melacha is only Aser if it's not done for food preparation, and that is picked up in the phrase Meleches Avoda, Loisasa, and you shall bring Korbanos. Now, it's very peculiar. It does not say in the Torah Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year, nor does it say what it is at all. For example, it doesn't say we're judged. In other words, this is totally based on the oral law. The written Torah itself just indicates you're supposed to make a blowing sound. And first of all, it doesn't even say shofar. That's the other thing. It doesn't say shofar, but well, a blowing sound could mean a number of different things. So much of Rosh Hashanah does depend on the interpretation of Torah Shebal Peh as the day of Adam HaRishon being created, because God began creating the world the 25th of Elul. And the sixth day of creation is the first of Tishrei. And the Ramban writes, there is a remez to din that were judged that day, but it's a very oblique remez. And the remez is from the word zichrei, a remembrance. The Ramban says, when we talk about God remembering something, that means Hashem is evaluating it. And therefore, zichrei is the one reference in the Torah to Rosh Hashanah being the Yom of Din, the Day of Judgment. Now, I do want to talk about the mitzvah of shofar, though, because it doesn't say shofar, and we'll explain this. But if you go through the sugya in Rosh Hashanah, this is what emerges. In Parshas Emor, it says, Zichrein Trua, a remembrance of blowing. In Parshas Pinchas, there's also a reference to the korbanos of Rosh Hashanah. And it says, Yom Trua. Yom Trua. So it says Trua twice. Zichrein Trua in Parshas Emor. And Yom Trua in Parshas Pinchas. Okay. Now, the word Trua appears yet another time in the Torah. And that is on Yovel, on the Jubilee year. The Jubilee year, which starts on Yom Kippur, not Rosh Hashanah. It says, On Yom Kippur of Yovel, Taviru Shofar, you shall blow a shofar. I just find the exact lashon. This is in Parshas. Bahar, one second. Vahavarta Shofar Trua. Now, this is very important, because of the three references, this is the only one that mentions shofar. Okay? Again, it's important to remember the languages here. Parshas Emor, Zichrein Trua. Parshas Pinchas, Yom Trua. And both of them are on Rosh Hashanah. in Parshas Bahar regarding Yovel, Vahavarta Shofar Trua. Now, we happen to know, we know Shofar is the horn of an animal, so that the Gemara doesn't have to have a proof of, but Shofar. Now, so, quite literally, we know two things. We know what a Shofar is, more or less. A Shofar is the horn of an animal. We also know what a Trua is. It's a broken sound. Although we're not sure if it's a Shofar or Trua, but we know that it's a broken sound. So, if you were to simply look at the Chumash literally, I would say, Rosh Hashanah, you gotta blow two Trua sounds, and Yom Kippur of Yovel, you gotta blow one Trua sound. But Chazal have a Gezeirah Shavah, because since the word Trua is used in both places, that whatever is written by Rosh Hashanah applies to Yovel, and whatever is written by Yovel applies to Rosh Hashanah. So this teaches you a number of things in a cross-fertilization way. It teaches you, just like the Trua of Yovel is B'Shofar, the Trua of Rosh Hashanah is B'Shofar. So that's how you know Shofar. It's very interesting. You don't know Shofar directly from Rosh Hashanah. You only know it from Yovel. And number two, just like Rosh Hashanah has two, you bring the two of Rosh Hashanah to Yovel, making it three for Yovel. And just as Yovel has one, you bring the one of Yovel over to Rosh Hashanah, making it three. In other words, even though it's Rosh Hashanah 2, Yovel 1, you actually use the Gezeirah Shavah to make it three in each. In other words, three truas. Now, the question becomes, all right, three truas, but that doesn't tell you anything about a tekiah. So we have another rule that says, every time Trua appears in the Torah, every time there's a broken sound appearing in the Torah, it must be bracketed by a tekiah before and a tekiah afterwards. So, based on all of these principles, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Shofar and Rosh Hashanah is to blow, much less than we do it, and I'll show you the evolution, is to blow tekiah, trua, tekiah, three times. So tekiah, trua, tekiah, tekiah, trua, tekiah, tekiah, trua, tekiah. Why? Because even though it only says trua twice by Rosh Hashanah and once by Yovel, we learn from Yovel that you need shofar, and we learn from Yovel that you bring the one of Yovel over to the two of Rosh Hashanah, just as we learn you bring the two of Rosh Hashanah over to the one of Yovel. So the d'oraisa, now the way we count is we don't count each toot as a separate call, we count each segment. So we count a whole trua, which is nine, let's say nine toots, we count it as one. So the d'oraisa, one tekiah is one, etc. So the d'oraisa, the number of times you have to sound the shofar in Rosh Hashanah is nine times. Nine times. We do it over 100, and I'll show you the evolution of that. Okay, nine times. Tekiah, trua, tekiah, three times. Now, a little aside, you'll notice, you'll remember, that in Parshas Pinchas, Parshas Emor, the Torah describes Rosh Hashanah as Zichron Trua, a remembrance of Trua. In Parshas Emor, it's described as Yom Trua, a day of blowing. Why is there that difference? So you know, it's not going to be this year, but we know that the Mishnah says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, when the first day of Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we do not blow the shofar. Which is a pretty big deal, because even though we're going to blow it the second day is rabbinic. The first day is the Baraisa. Now there's a machlokes, the Bavli and the Yushalmi, why we do not blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. According to the Bavli, it's a pure rabbinic decree. The rabbis decreed you do not blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos because we're afraid that if you don't know how to blow the shofar, you might carry it to go to an expert to learn how to blow, and you might inadvertently transgress Shabbos by carrying from a Rosh Hashanah Yochid to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So in order that you shouldn't be Mechalel Shabbos, the Chachamim uprooted the important mitzvah of shofar blowing. And this is the same reason why we don't take a lulav when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. And it's also true for Megillas Esther when Purim falls out on Shabbos, although that's less of a problem because Megillas Esther itself is technically Midrabanan. And even though the Takana of the Chachamim seems to, or is uprooting a Torah commandment, the Gemara says that the sages have the power to uproot a Torah commandment if they do it b'shevi al-tasa, by telling you passively not to do it. They're not telling you to eat treif, they're telling you not to do something, and that is within the parameters of their power to prevent a greater violation of the Torah, which is the desecration of Shabbos. An amazing thing. And you might say, well, but we have an Erev, even if I go out and I can't. In other words, the Gezerah is a pretty far-fetched Gezerah, number one. It's unlikely a person's going to do it. And number two, when you have an Erev, it's quadruply unlikely, because even if he does it, right, if I were to take out a shofar to go to Arzabir to ask somebody to teach me how to blow it, or blow it for me, I wouldn't be carrying. I'd have an Erev, right? Unless you bring a Raya, you don't trust Erev for this. But the answer is that the Chachamim made this Gezerah, even if there's a minuscule chashash of Chilul Shabbos, the Gezerah of the Chachamim stands. Now, there's a whole discussion, I don't have to get into this, that the Mishnah says that you're allowed to blow shofar in the presence of a Beis Din that will warn you and be sure that you're not in Chilul Shabbos. And according to one opinion, that's only the Sanhedrin of 71, which we don't have. But they bring a tshuva from the Rif, which the Rif does not bring in his halachas, that the Rif held any Beis Din of the Gadol Hador you're allowed to blow shofar in front of, and the Rif, Paskin, he was that Beis Din. So it is recorded that the Rif would actually have shofar blowing on Shabbos in his presence. Now it's interesting, he did not mention that, as we know this from other sources, but in his own sefer, he did not mention that. Maybe for modesty, or maybe he didn't want other people to follow it, or whatever. There's also an issue that some people post him say that in Yerushalayim, especially, one is allowed to blow, very, very few, but there is a minority view that in Yerushalayim you blow shofar even on Shabbos. And around 80 years ago, there was a Chashev Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger, who strenuously argued that we should blow shofar here on Shabbos. And he went to the chief rabbi of Shmuel Salant, who was the head of Ashkenazic Kehila for 70 years. Shmuel Salant. And Shmuel Salant and all the other Gedolim said no. But rumor has it, this is an old story, maybe it was spread later, that in the privacy of his home, he locked himself up on Rosh Hashanah of Akiva Yosef Schlesinger, and he actually blew shofar. And the second part of the rumor is, Rav Shmuel Salant stood outside the window to hear, because Rav Shmuel Salant allegedly had the following cheshbon. Even though the Chachamim said not to blow, so it's a sin to blow, but since the Oraisa there is a mitzvah, if somebody is blowing, you want to try to go hear it. Because you're getting a mitzvah the Oraisa. Now, of course, this gets you directly involved in the whole sugya of mitzvah babi aveira. In other words, if the Torah says, right, you're learning in Sukkah, if the Torah says to blow, but the Chachamim said not to blow, so you're doing an aveira, right, so that's the question. If I transgress an aveira midrabanan, is that called a mitzvah babi aveira to take away my mitzvah to Oraisa? Because it's on two different planes. So that's exactly the question. That's really the question. The question is, when we say the Chachamim are oker a mitzvah, does it mean that they actually have a metaphysical power to take away a mitzvah? Or does it just mean they can instruct you not to do it, but the mitzvah is still there? So according to the story, now it might be a story, and I don't think we have ironclad proof, but this is a story that is recorded in the history of Yerushalayim, that Rav Shmuel Salant surreptitiously wanted to hear the shofar. But it's been Lundus, you're correct, in Lundus this is a whole critical question. Besides Mitzvah Babi Aveira, the question also is, what is the power of the Chachamim to be oker? Because the phrase oker over the Torah literally means they can uproot the commandment. But some say that doesn't really mean they uproot the commandment, they can just tell you not to do it, but it's still a commandment. All right. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because the Yerushalmi, has a totally different makor, which would actually take away all of these solutions or proposals. The Yerushalmi says that the reason we don't blow shofar on Shabbos is not because of a gezeira midrabanan, shema yavirana, maybe you'll carry it, but it's because of the fact that the Torah uses two different phrases to describe shofar blowing. In Pinchas, it is a yom trua, a day of blowing. In Parshas Emor, it is called a remembrance of blowing. So the Talmud Yerushalmi says, a remembrance. That implies you're remembering it, but you're not doing it. That would be on Shabbos. On Shabbos, it's called Zichron Trua. B'chol, it is called Yom Trua. So according to the Yerushalmi, by the way, I want to put out, the Bavli actually mentions that as a Havamina, and it slugs it up. So it's interesting that what the Bavli rejects as the derivation, the Bavli mentions it, and it rejects it as a derivation, the Yerushalmi actually accepts as a maskana.
What does the Yerushalmi do with the time of the Bavli in that blowing a shofar is not a malacha in any case in the Raisa, so that's why I wouldn't have spoken about it throughout one.
Well, it's a good question. The Yerushalmi learns it's just a gzeiras hakasav that you don't do it. I mean, it's not because it's malacha. You're right. It's not a malacha, but you don't do it. It's not this man of shofar blowing. Yeah.
Zichron Trua in Amar and Yom Trua in Pinchas. They're both referring specifically to Rosh Hashanah, right?
That's correct. Yes.
So the Yerushalmi is saying that, when it's on Shabbos, it's a Zichron Trua.
That's right.
It is basically darshaning.
That's correct.
On the Chumash Tev.
That's correct. Now I want to point out that even though, as you said, the Bavli rejects it, but the Nusach HaTfila follows the Yerushalmi, because you will note. And look in your master, that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, I would say, V'titein lanu Hashem elokeinu bi'ahava, you have given us with love on a regular Rosh Hashanah, like this year, we say, Yayim trua hazeh. And when it's Shabbos, we say, Zichrayim trua. Right? And that is based on the Yerushalmi. Right? So the Nusach of the Tzvibah follows the Yerushalmi, which is actually not so difficult because the precise nusach of the tefillah was done in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore a lot of times it actually reflects the Yerushalmi more than the Bavli. Okay. All right, so that's one point to keep in mind. Now, the other question the Bavli raises is that the Mishnah says you could blow in the Beis HaMikdash, and according to the Yerushalmi, why would there be a difference in Mikdash and not Mikdash? That's why the Bavli slugs it up, but the Yerushalmi does stay that way, the Maskana.
This year Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, we wouldn't blow the same loud flies in Yom Kippur as it does Rosh Hashanah?
In other words, if it would be a Jubilee year. I mean, in Yom Kippur we don't blow a shofar anyway. In other words, like this. Well, we wait till after Shabbos. Yom Kippur is Shabbos, right? We don't blow a shofar until after Shabbos. Right. The blowing of shofar at the end of Yom Kippur is after Shabbos. The only time we would blow on Shabbos is, theoretically, if Yovel, the Jubilee, which we don't keep today, would be on Shabbos. Well, normally you would blow shofar on Yom Kippur. Would you blow it if it's Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos? So according to the idea that the Gezeirah Shavah, whatever applies to Rosh Hashanah, applies to Yovel, you would not blow on Shabbos either. Of course, it's a little peculiar, though, because if you learn like the Bavli, that the Iser of blowing shofar when Hashanah falls out on Shabbos is lest you come and carry. It would be very strange to make such a gezeira when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, because even when Yom Kippur does not fall out on Shabbos, it's just as usher to carry. In other words, Bishlamah, you can differentiate between a regular Rosh Hashanah and a Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, because a regular Rosh Hashanah I'm allowed to carry if I have a need. So the gezeira, lest you carry, is Shabbos specific. But what would the sense be to make a gezeira? You're not allowed to blow shofar when the Yom Kippur of Yovel falls out on Shabbos, lest you carry.
Well,
Yom Kippur is just as severe as Shabbos. Right? So it could be like the Yerushalmi, you would make such a din because it's just a gezeira sarkosef, that you don't do it on Shabbos, but like the Bavli, it's very hard to see. Why would the Chachamim make a gezeira for Shabbos when the same Aveira occurs for Yom Kippur.
But also, it couldn't be that they would make it by Yovel type method where they shoot everywhere in the land.
Some interpret that to mean the Sanhedrin. In other words, the shofar reverberates in the sense that it carries, in other words, it implements a yovel throughout the land, but it doesn't mean every place blows the shofar. Some say only the Sanhedrin blew the shofar anyway.
But doesn't the Gemara say that in the Hazai, all these hidden...
Well, but again, that's really just a variation of the kasha of the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, because that's the Hedra of Bifnei Beistim. As it was Bifnei Beistim. It says that in Yavne, you couldn't hear people talking because everyone blew shofar, but that was still Bifnei Beistim. That was not private shofar blowing. Okay. All right, so be it as it may, we walk away with this halacha. We walk away with the halacha that you're supposed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah a total of 9 times. 9 times. Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya. Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya, Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya, right? So that's stage one. All of this is preliminary. This is the basic requirement of Tekiya Shofar. Now, when do you do it? So originally, you did it whenever you did it. In other words, there was no particular time to do it. But stage two brings us to the fact that the Chachamim wanted to connect the Shofar blowing to the prayers that were offered during Musaf in particular. And that is, we know, and we'll talk more about this, that the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is a very unique, special Musaf. Normally, the Musaf of, in fact, on all the tefillahs of Yom Tov, have 7 brachas, the first 3, the last 3, and the middle bracha. And that middle bracha is called Kedushas Hayom, the holiness of the day. And Rosh Hashanah as well. Ma'ariv, Shachris, and Mincha have 7 brachas. And even though it's a little longer, but that's an elongation of the third bracha. The third bracha, which talks about God's holiness, instead of just being a Tachilosh, Yimcha Kadosh, Yokela Kadosh, we have paragraphs asking Hashem to put His awe and reverence on the whole world. But that's an expansion of Kedushas Hashem, the third bracha. And that ends with, HaMelech HaKadosh. But it's still only 7 brachas. And then there's a middle bracha about the holiness of the day. And then Ritzei, and Avial Kula, and Mozim, and Sim Shalom, or Shalom Rev. Okay. The Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is unusual, though, because essentially that middle bracha is subdivided into 3 separate brachas, dealing with 3 different themes. One is called Malchios, Hashem is King, Malchuyos. The other is Zichronos, Hashem remembering the good deeds of our forefathers. And the third are shofros, dealing with shofar. And it refers both to the shofar of Matan Torah and the shofar of Mashiach, which is the future shofar. Malchios, Zichronos, and shofros. The Chachamim enacted that they wanted the mitzvah of Tekiya Shofar to be connected with Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Again, please make sure you understand me. What I'm saying is, originally, they did not blow shofar at all before Musaf. The only shofar sound they had was after Malchios, they would blow Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya, once. After Zichronos, they would blow Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya once. After Shofros, they would blow Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya once. So, Doraisa, you have to have 9 kolos. And the Chachamim were Mechayev that L'chatchila, your Yotze, even if you didn't do it that way, but L'chatchila, you should take each of your 3 truas, so to speak, with the Tekiya before and the Tekiya afterwards, and be masmich and connected to Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. So, meaning there was no blowing before Musaf at all. Okay, no blowing at all. And so you still wound up blowing Shofar 9 times. 9 times. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. again, there's a side little problem. Originally, Malchus, the Chodesh and Shofar were part of Shachris, and the persecutions of the Goyim would not let us do it then, so it was moved to Musaf. But be it as it may, its position is in Musaf. Now, we now come to stage three. Stage three in the debate is, what is a trua sound? And this is going to be very confusing. The Torah uses the word trua, and we use the word trua. But what we call trua is not necessarily what the Torah means by trua. Chazal did have a definite mesorah that trua is a breaking, crying, sobbing sound. It's supposed to resemble a cry. But there were three different views what form that cry would take. Some views said the cry takes the form of an elongated sighing, which we call shivarim. Ay, ay, ay. Right? That's called ginuche. That's a groaning sound. So in other words, according to one definition, what we call shivarim is what the Torah meant by trua. According to another definition, trua was a whimpering sound. In other words, what we call trua is what the Torah meant trua. And according to a third view, trua was a combination of groaning and whimpering, what we call a shvarim trua. Now, I want to point out, the Torah does not require shvarim, and it does not require shvarim trua. It only requires trua. There were three different views, what is trua. So, if you were to be in a show, let's say, the year 100, right after the Korban Beis Hamikdash, in some shows, so imagine how different it would be. I mean, many things would be different, obviously. But number one, there would be no shofar blowing before Musaf at all. I haven't even gotten to that yet. And after Malchios, in some show you would just hear Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya, like we call it a Trua. In another show you would just hear Tekiya, Shavarim, Tekiya. And in the third show you might hear Tekiya, Shavarim, Trua, Tekiya. And the same thing after Zichronos, after Malchus. So each place only had nine, because we still count Shvarim Trua as one, because it's a definition of Trua. Each one has nine, but you'd hear a different combination. So stage two here is a Takana of Rabbi Avohu, an Amora. Rabbi Avohu was Mesake, that in order that all of the Jewish people should be doing the same thing, and this is where you start getting exponential increases in shofar blowing. He was Mesakeh. Now, he still didn't do it before Musaf. He still didn't do it before Musaf. He was Mesakeh that we don't just do three, but we do three of every variation. And it's important to know, you probably know this, because to be sure, it's important to know the abbreviations here. And that is, the abbreviation is for Tekiya Shavarim Trua Tekiya. We call that a tashrat. Now, tashrat, what does it mean? The taf is tekiya. The shin is shavarim. The resh is terua. Why would the resh be trua? Trua begins with a taf. But very simple. Since tekiya and terua begin with the same letter, so to differentiate in writing abbreviations between Tekiya and Trua, we refer to a Tekiya by the first letter, Tuf, and we refer to a Trua by the second letter, Resh. So according to him, instead of just doing nine, you have to do 27. In other words, three Tashrats, three Tashats, Tekiya, Shvarim, Tekiya, three Tarats. Now, how would you do it, though? Because remember, we haven't yet done the Tekiyas before Musaf. So, here is the point. You want to split it up by doing one Malchias, one after Zichronos, one after Shofros. So you wouldn't do three Tashrats after Malchias, because that wouldn't be right. Because maybe you didn't do the mitzvah, because maybe the Trua is the other one. So you have to do it this way, which is actually what we still do today. You have to do one of each. In other words, after Malchios, you would blow one Tashrat, one Tashat, one Tarat. So for sure, you got it right. After Zichronos, you would do one Tashrat, one Tashat, one Tarat. After Shofros, you would do one Tashrat, one Tashat, one Tarat. This is the Takana of Rabbi Avo. Again, we still don't have any Tikkios, either before Musaf or after Davening. But what we've done is, we've gone from 9, Al Seder HaBrachos, after Malchus, Zechronos, and Shofros, to now 27. However, let me point out that in our counting, even though logically this should be 27 kolos, it's counted as 30. The way the poskim count it is, they count Shvarim Trua as 2, Shvarim and Trua, even though Lamaisa, it should logically only be 1, because you're doing Shvarim Trua to be Mekayim Trua. But we count it as 2, because they are distinct sounds. And as a result, therefore, we've gone essentially from 9 kolos to 30 kolos. 30 kolos.
Who counts them as 2?
The poskim, I mean, the way the Shulchan Aruch and the Rishonim, I mean, the Ramban points out logically it should be 27, but in terms of counting, we commonly refer to the 30 kolos. Okay? But you understand, it's pretty much you understand the idea here, why we blow it that way. We don't blow 3 tashrats like we do before Musaf, we'll see. Right? Because 3 tashrats wouldn't be good, because you want to be sure that you've done a proper tekiah, trua tekiah after Malchios, and a proper one after Zichronos, and a proper one after Shofros. So unless you have one of each variety, you may not have gotten it right. That is why, right, the minog is one of each after Malchios, one of each after Zichronos, one of each after Shofros. Okay, so what have we done? So we've gone from 9, is step 1. Step 2 is to connect the 9 to Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Step 3 is the Takana of Rabbi Avohu, that every Tehillah should incorporate all of those different possibilities. Now, there's an interesting tshuva that the Baal Namor brings from Avhai Gaon. Avhai Gaon was the greatest of the Gaonim, the last of the Gaonim, and the greatest of the Gaonim. Where Avhai Gaon raises the question, how is it shayach that different kehilas were blowing shofar different ways until Rabbi Avo unified them? That means so many people were not yotze shofar. Let's say the people who were doing trua might not be yotze if it's shvarim trua, and if the people who did shvarim weren't yotze if it's trua, etc.
How do we know that different kehilas were doing different things? Isn't it just much better that Rabbi Avo had sofik himself?
No. That's not, certainly, no. It's not Rabbi Avo's subject. We know they were doing different things because the Gemara says there were different Tanaim that had different Shitas. So the Gemara says it was Machlekes and Brises. So Rabbi Avo wanted to be Yaitse Lidei Machlekes. But the Avhai Gaon explains, although it's a very big chiddush in the Gemara, the Avhai Gaon explains that Doraisa, whichever way you did it, you were yaitze. The Torah says there has to be a crying sound. But it left it to kehilas to define what they wanted to do. So either of those options are acceptable. So when the Gemara says there's a machlokes, a three-way machlokes, what is the definition of trua? It doesn't mean the one that said it was shivarim pasled the one that did trua. And it doesn't mean the one that did true apostle, the one that did shvarim. Rather, the Torah itself says any of these crying sounds was considered to be legitimate. So Rabbi Avo did not incorporate all of these halachos in order to avoid a suffix if you're yotzei. But he did it in order to foster achdus and unity in Am Yisrael. Now, the emesis, the Ramban says that although Avhai Gaon was, as I say, the greatest of the Gaonim and an enormous authority, just to give you an example, although it's a little bit backwards almost, to give you a sense of how revered Avhai Gaon was, it was said in many, many later years that the Vilna Gaon was a reincarnation of Avhai Gaon. So it's interesting, you know, we know about the Vilna Gaon, you know, we always talk about the great Vilna Gaon, so the Vilna Gaon was like Rav Feigl. That's how great Rav Feigl was in his time. But the Ramban does ask a very powerful kasha. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah asks a beautiful question. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah asks, well, wait a second, Rabbi Yavel incorporates all of these options in order to avoid a question. Now, the Gemara asks, if you do Tashrat only three times after Malchus, right? You've covered your bases, because here's the point. If Trua means Shavarim Trua, I got it. If Trua means Trua, so the first Shavarim is irrelevant, but I still got my Trua. And if it means Shavarim, my second Trua is superfluous, but I still got my Shavarim. So why do you have to separate it out and do a Tashat and a Tarat? One Tashrat after Malchias, one Tashrat after Zichronos, one Tashrat after Shofros is going to help you. In other words, essentially, you've done all three options in one. So the Gemara's answer is, that doesn't work for the following reason. There cannot be an interruption between your Tekiya and your Halachic Trua and your Tekiya. So if I do Tashrat, good. So if Tashrat is the right one, I'm fine. But if Tarat is the right one, my Shavarim is a hefsek between the first Tekiya and the Trua. That's if Tarat is the right one. And if Tashrat is the right one, I do Tashrat. So my Trua is a hefsek between the Shavarim and the last Tekiya. And therefore, you have to do each one separately, because whichever one is not part of your mitzvah is going to be a hefsek between the Tekiya and the Trua. This is what the Gemara says. But the Ramban asks, according to Rav Haigon, that doesn't make sense, because according to Rav Haigon, Tashrat would be acceptable, like all opinions. So it couldn't be a hefsek because you validly do the mitzvah that way. All right, that's the Ramban's kasha on Rav Haigon. Okay. But any deed is at bay, what you see, I'm going to have to stop here, but we've done half of our metamorphosis, so to speak, that we've gone from the Torah. So, but look how things are getting bigger. In the Torah Gufa, you only see the word Trua twice by Rosh Hashanah, Yom Trua and Zichron Trua. We make it three Truas because we bring in the one Trua of Yaivon through a Gezeirah Shavah. So, that gets you to three Truas. Now, three Truas doesn't, and zero Tekiyas. We then have another rule. A Trua always has a Tekiya before, a Tekiya after. So that gets you up to nine. We then say we want the nine to follow Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, meaning one Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya after Malchios, one after Zichronos, one after Shofros. Okay? So that gets you nine, in other words, three after each section. We then have Rabbi Yavo's Takana, which gets you up to 30. 30, right? So at this point we have 30 kolos. We do not yet, in Rabbi Yavo's time, we do not yet have shofar blowing beforehand, and we'll see where that comes in. Nor do we have shofar blowing afterwards, and the issue of 100 kolos is totally not found here yet at all. But we do have tekiyos ala brachos. Now let me just explain that and this is true even today, and it was always true. The idea that you blow shofar after Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros is only for Tefillah B'Tzibur. It's only in congregational prayer. If you are davening Musaf B'Yechidus, you do not blow shofar then. There's only shofar blowing beforehand. Now, there is a machlokes among Hasidim and non-Hasidim. Do you blow shofar during the Tzibur Musaf, even in the silent Amidah? That's a machlokes, right? Our custom is, We only blow in Chazaras Hashatz. Hasidim blow even in silent whenever, of course, people are all in a different place, but in the middle, they blow. But that's a machlokus there. But everybody admits, this is absolutely clear, there is no tekiyah shofar if a person is davening without a minyan. In other words, you would blow the shofar only beforehand. You would not blow it during. This idea of connecting it to Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros is connected to the idea of a tzibur. Okay, so next time we'll talk about the origin of the tekiyas before Musaf and why we have tekiyas after davening.